being in the temple. Think about it. Worship's in the temple of God, and when Solomon built his temple, there was worship 24/7. It never stopped. And isn't it interesting that they had seen the glory of the Lord, and their response was to create worship that was 24/7. So it's a very powerful thing, guys. I'm going to have you go to John this morning, and I want to talk about something that has really struck me heavy, and I really believe God began to speak to me in regarding. It's interesting. Sometimes the way it works with me is a lot of pastors, I'd imagine, we ask God for inspiration. We ask Him to please guide us to the Scripture, because the responsibility to teach and equip saints is such a heavy one. It's like surgery. You want to get it right. You want to hit the money. But it's interesting. God will nudge me sometimes, and you know, you get to know your Father's nudge, especially when you've got to teach all the time. But sometimes God will nudge me with something, and I'll kind of maybe open the Scripture up, looking for some, you know, looking for the subject matter He's dealing with, and it'll lead to something else, which is exciting. But you've heard the term, you know, being zealous for God, the zeal of God, maybe you've heard. And we're in a world that is fighting us. It really is. You know, it's fighting us. We see just different stuff, even the new mandate that passed down from the king on the bathroom issue. And it's interesting, because while Christians are trying to curtsy and dot their I's and cross their T's, and they're trying to, you know, not be too weird for people, it's like, you know, things continue to come at us. And I'm looking at this case in point, to where we have in the American church a body that stresses being polite, which is neither really here nor there. We're even in a system where if you're, let's say, dogmatic, like super emphasizing something, people would say, oh, don't be so heavy. But, I mean, I start to look at the Scripture, and one thing about our lives, we always need to be able to find the context of our life in the Word. I don't mean just the rules. I don't mean just the morality. I've got to find the life I live in the Scripture. The way that the church reacts to the world it lives in, I need to look at the church reacting to the world in the Word of God. And we cannot be a different breed than that. I look at, when I think of that, and I thought about, you know, what happens when you lose your pep, your step, you know what I mean? What happens when you lose your spiritual vitamins? But God had me stumble onto something. Really, it's not a matter often of getting you pumped up, because I think we can get worked up at a concert. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it's funny, we go home and go to bed, and we wake up and real life hits us the next day. I think there's a better quality than saying, let's get re-energized, let's get pumped up. Let's get zealous. Nowadays, if somebody's in a crowd, in a Christian crowd, and they get excited, sometimes people even go, he's overzealous. Sometimes it's a negative when a Christian is forceful, maybe strong, and people say, you know, oh, he's a zealot. Few times does this mean something positive. I believe this. I believe God wants to make you zealous. I believe that God has designed you to be zealous. And there's a difference between you being zealous, okay, and you being pepped up. I tell you, Jim, when I was 30, pepped up was easy. 40 maybe, 45 was good. My wife described my pep really good. She said, you know, when we were first married, you just kind of went spring out of the bed. She said, now you just kind of go boom, boom, pop. I said, well, thanks, hon. It's good to know in your eyes I am still that guy. But it is true. She's right. In fact, I used to sit up so fast out of bed that sometimes I would throw a muscle out in my back. I was just like a springboard. Just pew. And I thank God, I don't think any of my kids got that. Thank you, Jesus. But zeal is a different thing. And I want to read out of John chapter 2, verse 11 through 17. And we're going to read this together. We're going to read literally 11 through 17. I'll let you get there. John, the Gospel of, not 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, 11 through 17. And I want to just read to you. God is good. It says, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, and he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. And it says that Jesus made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written in Psalm 69, actually, zeal for your house will consume me. Now, thousands of years previous, you had Psalm 69 giving a messianic implication. And Jesus comes into the temple, and I would have to say, if there's one person who was in his house, am I right that Jesus, Yeshua, coming into the temple would be kind of a natural groove? Because, quite frankly, he had designed it. You know, if anybody was to look at Jesus when he did that and say, what right do you have? He could say, utter right, for sure right. Hey, baby. He says, that's not right. My abuelo, he's standing there, so I can go to him. And that's very true. And the word zeal comes up. And this is interesting because this is what we really need. The zeal of God first starts with God. And zeal's a weird word, okay? The thing that God is, zeal is comes from a root word that means jealous. How many have ever felt jealousy here? Oh, I have for certain. It's ridiculous, I tell you. I found other levels of jealousy. I'm not even sure how that one works. I invented new levels of jealousy. But I want to put something in a term. Many times we go, that's the green-eyed monster. And that can be true. It is. Over-jealous people, it can get really messy. It can distort your vision. We've all been there to some degree or another. But today we're going to kind of turn the clock back and say that when we talk about zeal and the zeal of God, God is a jealous God. He's a zealous God. You can almost combine the words because when it says God is zealous, it's really in a sense that he is jealous for you. So if I say, Jim, God is zealous for you, that means he wants you to himself. He's zealous, all right? And another thing, we see the zeal of God because it's the first person that shows zeal is not man but God. And like I said, it comes off of a root word that actually comes from jealousy. Now, in the normal life, we go, jealousy is bad, and it is in the flesh, and it is when you're, you know, when it's the old man jealous or zealous, but being zealous, being jealous for God is actually an attribute that we first get off God. Now, if you look in Exodus 23 and mark it, I'm going to rifle through, God says to Moses on the mountain, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water or under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. The zeal of God and God being jealous for his people is absolutely how he feels for you today. He is zealous towards you. He is zealous. He is jealous for you. He wants an exclusivity, but God is not to be thought of as a jealous husband, a jealous boyfriend, in proper jealousy and friendships. But when God is zealous and when God is a jealous God, it's funny because people, I've often had people say, I struggle with that because jealousy, that's a weird word. And I tell them, well, it's a weird word as to what it's come to mean and in the flesh and in fallen man. But the zeal of God towards his people is a beautiful thing. God is a jealous God. God introduces in the law right away, you shall have no other gods before me because I need you exclusively. I want you to serve me exclusively. I don't take it well if you have other gods. In fact, it gets outright ugly. But instead of thinking of jealousy in the carnal sense and the bad sense and God's zeal towards his people as a bad thing, it's not. It's a perfect thing. And it is the very nature of God towards us that his zeal is towards you. God started this ball rolling, the zeal of God. the intense and protective commitment, and I wrote something down, of God to his people and to his purposes, which seeks a passionate and an obedient response. The zeal of God is often linked to the jealousy of God, in which God refuses to contemplate people giving their allegiance to anyone or anything else. Now, the thing when it comes to God being a jealous God and God being zealous for you, he is the maker of your soul. He made you. He designed you. He put you together, the wonderful thing that you are. Not only does God have the right, but the authority to be a jealous God. As I started going through this little journey and thinking about the peps, you know, and our step and the energy we need and the anointing of God, I started thinking about society that we live in, how we're so quiet. And as all hell breaks loose, how sometimes we are more worried about being polite, or we're more worried about not offending someone. But then I thought about God is zealous for me, and in turn, God wants me zealous for him. Meaning, I will defend the name of the Lord. I will not let you blur the name of the Lord with a pagan God. I will not let you mix the doctrine of God with a human doctrine. I will not receive it when you distort God's words. I will not be excited when God's name is invoked in a hypocritical fashion. The zeal of God needs to consume us. If it does, it won't make us a jealous boyfriend. It won't make us a jealous girlfriend. It won't make us green-eyed monster jealous. But as God is zealous for us, we will be zealous for him. And I think sometimes we're looking for that pep, you know. We're motivated and we lose the motivation. And we're energized and we lose the energy. But you got to understand something. The zeal of God is a very different vein. You know, it's interesting when people blaspheme the name of the Lord on high and they just do it to other levels, to where you want to duck because you fear lightning. And when people take the name of the Lord, when a sinner cusses and goes, I'm sorry, I'm thinking, that's okay, because, I mean, this is what you do. But the aspect of defending the name of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the word of the Lord, a relationship with the Lord, the word isn't energy, it isn't anointing, but the first instinct that we've been given as sons and daughters of God is zeal, that we would be zealous. Show me a person that has no zeal, show me a believer that has no zeal for the Lord, and there's something missing. And what bothers me, too, is nowadays we're often told, you know, be polite. I don't have a problem with you being polite. But we're often, there's times where God would stir the zeal in you to react to the world you live in. He wouldn't calm you down. No, he would not make you hysterical. No, he would not make you a criminal waving a weapon. But the reality is, in the scripture, one thing that we learn is that when Israel would commit idolatry, God's zeal, it's in the scripture, would actually be stirred up. Now, we live in a land of idols. We live in a land of compromise. We live in a land of many gods by many names, materialistic, spiritual, supernatural. You were designed in such a way that when the society you live in is filled with idols, God has made you by his spirit that you would begin to react with zeal, not enthusiasm. There's a difference. That you would rise up, that you would defend the name of the Lord. You know, many times people are giving manner lessons when they need to give lessons in zeal and what it means. Many times, are you with me, guys? Christians are saying, you know, oh, that's ugly, or that's not good, or oh, don't be so, you're overzealous. And yet to live in a corrupt world is to absolutely deal with an element that's supposed to, as a believer, stir your heart to zeal. When God says, have no other gods before me, he demands my allegiance. He doesn't ask me. That's why I love the Ten Commandments versus the whatever you want to call that. It's interesting because the reality is God is zealous for you. He's zealous for me. He's zealous that our heart would be faithful. He's zealous that we would have no other gods before him. That's in his nature. This isn't like an attitude of God. When we display zeal in the things of God, the kingdom of God, and the work of God, we actually reflect a divine trait that comes directly from our Father in heaven. And we actually completely manifest a trait that is Father-like. But everything I look at around me, many times even in the Christian community, is many times quenching zeal. We talk about anointing, but let me explain something. The anointing, the power of God to do the things God asked me to do, that's part of the equipping, and as a saint, that's part of what he wants us to be full and baptized in. But zeal is an honor thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? If God can be dishonored and no zeal is stirred up in me, and yet I'm asking God to empower me for a living, it's going to be at a conflict because I'm saying, Father, I don't have zeal. The most basic traits that you have placed in me is zeal to react to a dying world, is zeal to react as to defend your honor and your word, and I don't have that. Now I want some kind of anointing. But the Spirit of God wants to come upon man, and the one thing that's going to be happening is we're going to get zealous. Sometimes if somebody seems too convinced, people go, oh, he's so dogmatic. There's all these little inferences. But you have to understand. In fact, a lot of this, people go, well, God's this big, loving, you know, gooey father, and he's soft, and he's touchy, and you can pet him, and he's really nice, and he stays with you. But the fact that God says to you, to me, I'm a jealous God. Have no other gods before me, Mike. I'm a zealous God. I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous for you. I do not want your allegiance twisted three different ways. I do not want your allegiance tore up with fornication. I don't want your allegiance with pocket idols. I don't want your allegiance somewhere else. What I'm supposed to have of your heart, I want it and I demand it because I'm a jealous God. Do you understand? People go, that's the Old Testament. But part of the problem is they are in the Old Testament. But when God describes himself, he is an eternal being. So if God says, I am a jealous God, that never changes. That's his character. If God says, worship me alone, don't worship any other God except me, God, that's a jealous God. God is zealous for the honor of his name. You realize when it says, thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain, there's no cursing word in Hebrew of what we hear the GD thing. It's just to use the name of the Lord falsely. It's to use the name of the Lord in a wrong way that doesn't represent the name of the Lord. But God is, for the honor of his name, God is zealous. To establish the Messiah, Jesus, coming back, he is zealous. He is zealous and jealous on behalf of his people. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody, doesn't it make sense that the less you know of them, the less you know what they want? Am I right? And isn't it true that if I'm in a relationship with somebody, the less that I know them, the less I know what they expect of me? All of us have been in relationships where you go, what do you want? I don't understand. But the one thing with the Father, he's not mysterious. In this way, he says, I'm a jealous God. You'll only worship me as God. That's it. I'm a jealous God. That's how I react. That's how I am. And when we talk about God and his zeal towards his people, that he's a jealous God, we are not talking about some lame carnal reaction. We're talking about the one who has made us has the total rights to us. He's got the papers. And he loves us. But he wants us to be zealous back. See, one of the reasons compromise in the Christian community hurts all of us really bad is because compromise directly affects zeal. Because when you're compromised and you're divided, well, you're not responding to the Lord that says, have no other gods. When you're compromised, it's impossible to be zealous for his name, because if I shame his name, then I will not defend the honor of his name. It's hard. It's an internal conflict. Many times the enemy knows if you get the body and you get people half sold out and half here and their hearts divided, they will lose their zeal. And I look at zeal as the true fight that is within us. And in fact, the things that the presence of the Lord will bring is the zeal of God. Now, many times people go, you say potato, I say potato. What's the point? It's a huge difference. See, we live in a society that blasphemes the name of the Lord all the time. We do. We live in a world where there are many pagan gods, many false gods, materialistic gods, pagan gods, witchcraft gods, and it's supposed to stir our hearts to zeal. And in a sense, that zeal defends the honor of his name. And even when we declare the Lord and declare what he wants, we are zealous for his name. And that's actually a trait that comes from God. The disciples understood the reaction that Jesus had in the temple according to the description that was given in Scripture. Zeal for thine house has consumed me. Jesus, being the Son who has always been with the Father, comes into the very house that call upon that name, and he sees stuff going on that is not only wrong, it misrepresents the name of Jesus. And his zeal, just like the Father, he reacts. And what's really crazy about this, Could you imagine when when he builds the scourge, he makes a scourge of cords. Jesus comes in and he looks around, perfect discernment, sees it, and then he makes a scourge. So he doesn't go in and go, oh my gosh, it starts running around. There's thought. This is actually a controlled fella, obviously, because it says he makes a scourge of cords, then he gets up and he starts driving them out. Because the name of the Lord was being shamed, because there was 1,000% markout. There was supposed to be ability to buy sacrifices when people would come for Passover. Some would come 50 miles. Try that on foot. And they wouldn't have something. So they would take a shekel and they would purchase a lamb. They would purchase a turtle dove. They would purchase it. But the markup was so high. You got to say the temple was the 7-Eleven of then. You go to a 7-Eleven, 10 aspirin, $5.65. What? Where else am I going to go? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. So you buy it. It was the same principle going on in the temple. Jesus sniffed this out, and he drives them out. He turns the money tables over, because zeal for thine house has consumed me. I fear that the very Savior himself, if he was to walk around physically, and he was disguised as someone else, and he reacted to things in the house of God, and reacted to things in the life of the believers, I believe many well-meaning pastors would sit Jesus in disguise down and explain to him how inappropriate he is. But that's the reality. It's the zeal killer. You understand that to be zealous for the name of the Lord, to be zealous for the things of God and the Word of God, is not a bad thing. And there's a shushing that goes on in the society that bothers me. Be quiet, it's all right. Be quiet, it's all right. And if your zeal rises up, be quiet, it's all right. And if you defend the name of the Lord, you don't want to defend. You don't need to do that. And there's all these little catches that are grabbing Christians now, and we're just being lulled because you've just fallen asleep. Do you really think some of the things would go on in society if the church was truly present as it needs to be? Heck no. Are you kidding me? Every despot that's ever took over seduces the church. Do you think that's different today? Absolutely not. Every despot with intents of bad will take over the church, will come in, present themselves as a Christian leader too, blah, 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 and they will come in there and then they do their thing. Where is zeal is the real question. In fact, when we say, where's our standards? You can't separate standards from zeal, because our standards are of God, therefore we are zealous for his standards. Many times that Christians lack the instinct of zeal. They are not jealous for the name of the Lord, and they're confused. They don't understand why they don't seem to care. And that element that really is inside of them, they've subdued it or been told to subdue it for so long that you become passive. It's like you get neutered. Who will speak out if we do not? Jesus wasn't simply angry. Angry would be Jesus coming in and working himself up into a froth and grabbing a stick and start beating people. That's not what he did. He made a scourge of cords. It was very controlled. And then he broke loose. Now, this is important, because I really believe the zeal of God, it needs to come into the people of God. I believe the zeal of God wants to have the people of God arise. It is not going to be unbiblical. It's not going to lack integrity. It is not going to be, but I really believe many times when me and Pastor Jay would talk to people about the Emergent series that we did, we were warning of people about that false gospel, because it is a false gospel. In fact, the one of the biggest names in it is not even what you call a Christian no more. Obviously, it wasn't when he was behind a pulpit. And many times, people, many times said, I don't see the problem. You understand, when the zeal of God is raising up in you, there's always going to be somebody to come up next to you and go, shh, it's not that bad. Shh, don't worry about it. It's all right. Come on, it's not that bad. If I had a dime for every time I have seen the element of shushing in the face of God's zeal trying to rise up, I'd be a millionaire. Do you know why? Zeal is something that God has given each of his children. And when they stand in a crooked and a perverse generation, that zeal will rise in them. And the enemy knows, really, to react as God reacts in this earth is to be the hand of Jesus. And he understands the very vein of zeal and what it means in the honor of his name. He sees it clearer than any of us, guys. Are you with me? So here comes the shushing quintets, the multitudes. They'll always be there. And they'll always say it's all right. You've all heard the story, and then Hitler had the Nazi camps, and there was a church right by the train tracks, and people would be screaming and as they were going off to death camps. And one church had, they were by the tracks. Well, they couldn't move at that point. Germany was in lockdown. So what did they do? The organ player turned up the organ. As the outcries were coming from people being taken away to be gassed and murdered and killed, shot randomly, zeal could have risen in the church, but it did not. Somebody shushed it. They turned the music up so you couldn't hear it. Sometimes that little step hitch in our step, that energy that God really wants to give us, is zeal. But the enemy is he's an enemy of zeal. He knows what zeal does. The enemy can't tolerate zeal because really, in a sense, when we act out in God, we are zealous for God in the right way, according to the scriptures, not some weird thing. He knows that that creates troubles because he knows really that's how Jesus walks through this earth. I had somebody tell me, they said, you know, I'm not a Christian, and I'll be honest with you, I like Christmas. And I said, why? And they said, because it's baby Jesus, he's still nice. I said, well, that's a bit of a misnomer. That's just simply not true. Of course he's a baby. Of course he's nice. He can't walk. You know, Elijah got zealous for the Lord. And I want to say this as we're going forth. God will raise up zeal in you in the needed times, and you need it. God will raise up a zeal. He will raise up, he will anoint your life, and he will cause you to stand. And when he does that, though, zeal always alerts the enemy. Do you know when Elijah, remember, how many remember the story about Jezebel and how Elijah commanded her to be thrown from a window, and she was a seducer and a perverter of God's ways? Who was her husband, Ahab? Okay. And Elijah, they have this thing to where he says, if God is God, serve him. But if not, then don't. And he bring all the prophets of Baal, which is a false god, and they get together. And basically, he puts a pile of wood and says, hey, let your god burn this wood up. And so they cut themselves, and God never shows up. And Elijah bows his head, and he prays, and fire comes down and consumes. And then they actually destroy the priest of Baal. Am I correct on this, Pastor Jay? And then Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, who was an idolatrous wretch, says, hey, so be it done to me and more if we don't kill Elijah. And Elijah goes off to the cave. Remember, he hides. I'm just going to read what happens with him and God. Then he came there to a cave, because sometimes when you're zealous and you honor God, you will get resistance. But instead of hiding in a cave, you need to step up. Sometimes when we're zealous, people go, how dare you? I'll never forget, it was just the gospel. Somebody was asking me a question, and somebody was standing there, and the woman went off on me. How dare you? How dare you say that stuff here? And I wanted to go into a cave. She actually started losing it. And I think there was a little more to this woman than just simply me doing what I did. Obviously, there was other issues. But he came to the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do you understand when God asked that? He's God, so he kind of knows why Elijah's there. He's asking Elijah, what are you doing in a cave, so Elijah can think about the reason he's there? And what's he say? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The thing we have to understand, God's response is, there are 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. When we are zealous, we upset the enemy. The enemy comes for us. He wants us to hide. He wants to intimidate us. But the thing is, they call this the shortest sob story Elijah ever said, because he's filling God in on how bad it was. And he's also explaining to God, you know, I alone am the only one doing good, and I alone am the only one to change. And now they seek my life to take it, God. And his perspective is wrong, because God says, mm-mm. Zeal stirs up the enemy, but I do believe it is zeal that drives us to get the things done that we need to get done. Why are you hiding? Is God's good question to us always, why are you hiding? Because I'm going to be honest with you, whether I speak to Darman or Jim or doesn't matter, to Sanya or my own wife or anybody in this room, when you do zeal, things stir up. They do. In fact, let me explain something to you. The next time you get zeal for the things of God, all of us have felt that, haven't you? Have you ever had a time where you said, what is this? What? No. And you started moving forward. And how many times does that happen that it hits? It hits. You do it and everything is stirred up. And now you got a mess on your hands. 3 days ago, you were on top of the world. You were God's man. You were God's woman. And you stood up and God's using you now. And you could see so clearly. Why do you think things hit us when zeal rises? Because zeal destroys. Zeal brings a standard up. Zeal destroys the works of the enemy. Zeal calls it the way it needs to be called. Zeal is literally, put it as the gas in our tank that moves us. As God is jealous for you, the question even almost in closing is, will you be zealous for him? In fact, everybody's zealous. Did you know that? Some people are zealous for their TV. They don't want anybody to touch it. Some people are zealous for their money. Some people are zealous for relationships to where even God's not welcome in it. Zeal is a forgotten element, not talked about. And I believe that zeal is so politically incorrect in the church right now that if you would preach this in a lot of places, pastors would be frightened. They would be trying to undo what I just said because they would assume that because I said zeal, Christians would act unbecomingly, which is not really true. They would assume because I'm talking about rising up, oh, we've seen that dogmatic stuff. And the world doesn't like that. It turns them off. Of course, God turns the world off. Do you not think that zeal that is a little higher octane is not going to turn them off? The enemy always comes to us, and if we are zealous a little bit, he seeks to minimize us. He seeks to quiet us down. He threatens us. Sometimes he comes at us through relationships. Sometimes he comes at us through our possessions. But he warns us, you're not going to stand like that, because when you do, you lose everything. And here's where the funny thing is. The zeal of God, I really believe, brings about the kingdom of God. Many times our gut reaction when the zeal has overtaken us and we stand and we smash the false idols and the pillars and the Asherim, and then we suddenly feel that tingle up our spine, just like Elijah did. That they killed all the prophets of Baal, rid the land of a curse, and he has to go hide because once he did that, Jezebel gets stirred up. And that's kind of the important thing, is we're almost ready today. I'm going to just give you some things to think about. What are you zealous for? I will say this, zeal, if I'm going to be zealous for God, it is an exclusivity, meaning to be zealous for God, as God is zealous for me, is very exclusive. Compromise is a killer of zeal, because once a lot of compromise happens, you can't fight no more. Because you can't fight partially what you're involved with. It's like a mixed bag. Why do you think lobbyists, why do you think senators will get, they'll go to be indicted because they took bribes? Because bribes blind justice. Bribes stop them from truly ruling and truly leading as a senator and voting with their conscience, especially if somebody's in their back pocket. This is a very dangerous thing. It's a conflict of interest. I think about different things as we're coming to an end. If you've stepped up before, know something. If you've had to go into a cave when you were zealous, it's a bit of an illusion, because what the enemy's threatening you with because you stood is false. It is. The zeal of God will bring about the kingdom of God. The zeal of God will bring about the works of God and the miracles of God and the standards of God. Early on, you will always find a fight against zeal. People will always ask you to tone down. Even if it's something that tears your conscience right out of you, man. Even if it's something that just burns your conscience, that you just, it tears you up to see. It tears you up to partake in. This is how it works. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Nebuchadnezzar made a false idol and wanted everybody to bow, and they were zealous for the name of the Lord. They would not bow to another idol, even at the cost of their lives. And they would not bow. And then, remember, it says that even Nebuchadnezzar's face, it says his expression was altered. That means he was ticked. And they ask you, isn't it interesting? Because when you're zealous, you're always given a chance to go back on your zeal. All right, when the music starts playing again, you bow, okay? Many times people take the first step, I say, of being zealous for the name of the Lord, and the enemy comes and he threatens, and he gives them a second chance to come in line, and they'll come in line. Many times people, I call it a first stance zeal that is only good for one stance, and the enemy come and threaten, and they're done. They're bowing the next time. In fact, I want you to think about something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were sitting there, and they get a chance to get it right, and they say, hey, let it be known to you, we will not bow. First, second, third. I don't know if you play that. You can do the jingle again 1,000 times. We won't bow. Our God is able to deliver us from the furnace even if we get thrown, and if not, we're ready to die. And you see that zeal and how it moves them to the honor of the Lord, because that big statue they built and wheeled out, that wasn't Jehovah. They knew that. They wouldn't bow to it. They wouldn't go along with the crowd. They were zealous. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the next time you get zealous and you get that flack, don't be freaking out. There's guys that went before you that, let me tell you something, what they faced in their zeal was far greater than anything I've ever faced to date. They stood and they victored. There's a victory that comes when you're zealous for God. It's an odd word. It's a forgotten word. We don't even talk about it anymore. When is the last time you've heard even me preach on zeal? I don't think you have. It's been a lot of years. Close up with a verse, Titus 2:11 through 15, which says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus." Check this out. "Who gave himself up for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." It says, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." God has actually bought you that you'd be zealous for good deeds. Is that amazing? And these deeds are going to be the deeds of the Lord. I don't believe in just doing good is enough. There's a specified good that God asks us to do in this earth while we're here. Many Christians, we have to focus on what these deeds are for us. Now, I want you to think about it very hard today as we go forth. I believe that zeal will come upon you. I believe the era we live in. But I'll be honest, I'm no different than you. I've been shushed many times. I've been shushed into a false state of confidence. I've been quieted when I should have sounded an alarm. We all do. We all can go back and go, you know what? There's things in my life I wished I would have felt better about. I wished I would have had the gut. I wished I would have had the nerve to stand. I wished I could have been opposite the crowd. I wished I could have did it different instead of buckling down. I wish the zeal of God would consume me and that it would cause me to act. It would cause me to speak. It would cause me to defend the honor of the Lord and the name of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. When zeal gets come against, it's always going to come against, because most of the time when we Christians are zealous, we're usually zealous for the name of God, the ways of God, the word of God. You know, it's interesting. When me and Pastor Jay were doing the Revolution Seminar, we stood in one meeting where they're going to put us, we're in a seminar. One pastor told me there's 1,000 people that want this spot that you got, you and Jay got. I don't know if he wanted me to, you know, grovel or what. But the guy stands up there and says, "Pastor Mike, Pastor Jay, love you guys. This is not anything against you, but I don't think we have a problem with this. I don't. I don't think this, I don't see the need." And real succinctly, the zeal of God took me, and I explained why we had the need and how infiltrated the emergent heresy was and how dangerous it actually was and how so many pastors were caught up. Interesting. The guy that stood up and said he didn't see the need had been showing these DVDs actually at his church. And while he stood up to tell the people this really wasn't a problem in the church and that pastors weren't suckering for it, he actually himself had been using these DVDs of this false teacher. And it's interesting because I guarantee you when you sit in a room of 25 pastors with a convention that will be attended by a couple thousand or whatever, I guarantee you when people are trying to get the exciting guest in there, the right stuff, speakers, you know, because that's what a conference is. It's different speakers, different views of different ministries, God's works in different places. And I can tell you right now, if my zeal was drained, I might have been, you know, when somebody goes, "There's no need," then you're going to go, "Well, I mean, we don't want to teach a course that doesn't help, do we? 1,000 people need this spot, so we don't want to take 1,000 other people's spots to teach something that's irrelevant." But the zeal drove me, and I did feel a zeal when he said that. Now, I'm not going to tell you I had a direct word. He's a liar. He's complicit, and the man's dishonest. I didn't have that necessarily, but the zeal rose in me. And you can ask Pastor Jay. One problem when we become older, guys, and I want to warn you about this, we become diplomats. We do. You're okay. I'm okay. I don't want to fight with you. Seriously. The one problem with age that I would say is sometimes you get softer in needed ways, but sometimes you become diplomatic in ways you should not. That's a grave danger for everyone, myself included. And I remember as he did this, I'm like, even in my mind, I'm like, do I need to fight for this? Because, I mean, I think we're in. But it's funny, the zeal rose up in me. And even Pastor Jay, and you guys know Pastor Jay, is like, if you wouldn't have said something, I would have. And praise God, the zeal kind of grabbed me and said it. And it's like, it's it. You guys are in, you know. You're going to do this seminar. Praise God. How needed was zeal in the moment to fight? Let's all stand. We're going to pray. How needed God wants to give zeal. Do not confuse zeal with violence. It's not. There are people, when people go, I've got zeal. We know there's pagan religions that mean somebody's going to die. It's crazy. Crazy, man. But Christians mostly are going to be zealous for the person of God. They're going to be jealous for their Savior. They're going to want to worship Him alone. A lot of times we don't think of it that way, but your God is he's got a love for you that is amazing. Isn't it weird though? If we as believers get deluded, it hurts our relationship with the Father. And we need that. We need to not be deluded. We need to understand right from wrong. What's true, what's not true. But as we pray, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to just touch your spirit today. To inject into you zeal. Absolutely, to inject into you zeal. Absolutely. If you've lacked it and you've been shushed, listen. There is a time for diplomacy. There is a time where you can't be argumentative, because the scripture also says, but that you're not supposed to be argumentative as a servant of God. But zeal is not always about arguing, because I'm not. If God raises that up in you to speak, then speak. Father, as we go today, I think of that you're zealous for your people. You tell me not to have other gods. You just want me to serve you alone. You don't share. That's not what you are. You're the creator of the universe. You don't want me having false allegiance to false gods. You want me to stand strong, and you want me to stand up. I pray this morning. Sometimes we get shushed. Father, it's so funny, because the enemy does react when Christians stand up in zeal. The enemy reacts hardcore, because he knows if they keep doing that, they're going to destroy darkness. Lord, I think of all the times, even when Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich in Germany, the church was very complicit in Germany. They shut their eyes. They swore allegiance to the state church. The same thing happened in actually Romania with Pastor Wormbrand, where the despots came in, but when they did it, they seduced the church. All through the ages that we can see, the enemy has always tried to kill zeal in the believer, tried to get permission from the church to do the wickedness. My prayer for we as saints today, as we dismiss, Lord, it's a good thing to stand up. And I think of the moms here, and there isn't a one of them. There are the fathers here. They stand up for their kids. Absolutely. They die for their kids. They love their kids. I think of that today as we go, and I pray that right now you would absolutely touch our hearts with zeal. Forgive us, God, when we've become diplomatic where we should not be. Forgive us, God, when we have kind of, said, you know what, I'm tired of fighting, and I'm just going to go with the flow, or I'm not going to agree with it, but I'll just be silent the rest of my life. None of those things work. I pray we would have a zeal for you with knowledge, Lord. I heard a sermon once, and somebody said the worst two places to be is all zeal, no knowledge, or all knowledge, no zeal. I really believe the things we've learned of you in your word and the new life we've experienced. And Lord, I really believe that you wish your people to honor your name. Lord, even when me and Pastor Jay did those seminars some years ago, we were moved with the heresy that had filtered into the church. We were zealous. The name of God had been dishonored and really blasphemed. And we wanted to make a difference. So I pray for everyone here has a different life. Everyone here is facing different challenges. But let them be motivated. Lord, I really think that through your spirit, we have a trait called zeal. That's a beautiful thing. And I really believe it is something that is a character trait that you display, Father, through all the Old Testament. I thank you that you want exclusivity. And I pray strength for people today. Lord, many are out there in the trenches and they're fighting. And they get tired. They get threatened. They get backed down. Return the zeal to our hearts, God. I ask that you would return the zeal to our hearts. Father, it is not about being rude or speaking when we shouldn't, but Father, in a world that we live in right now, I think there's a lot of opportunity to speak. I think there's a lot of things to defend of rightness, of whole purity, of the things of God. Lord, I even think of so many things now. We're redefining everything. It's moving the ancient boundaries, and that's where we're going to get into trouble as a society. So I pray for believers, God, that there is a time to speak up. There is a time to say, hey, no, this doesn't fly. There is a time when we know what we need to do, Father. Everybody's different here. Everybody has different situations. But I do pray you would restore zeal to the body, that it would not be one of hypocrisy or one of double-mindedness, but it would truly be that. And Lord, let us be zealous for you. Might we defend your honor always, God. Lord, I once heard a person say, you know, let God defend himself. But the truth is, we are your hands, we are your feet, we are your fingers. You use us. The Christian is in this world for a reason. And I do pray for that empowerment today as we go. Because again, Lord, people get beat down, they get wore down, they get tired. Things fall by the wayside. I pray restoration. I pray restoration. And one thing I know that the Spirit of God brings is a zealousness for God and the things of God. Lord, give us a zealousness for good works, as it says in Titus. A zealousness we'd be zealous for good works. Thank you for that. That it says that's a core component as you have taken away our sins, forgiven us, made us new creations. You've designed us. It's actually part of our design that we're zealous for good works. So I pray restoration today, rejuvenation, re-energizing, and let us understand as we're in a relationship with you that it is exclusive. You do want us one-on-one with you. The part you have of us, it can't go anywhere else. It needs to be with you. Just as we wholly give ourselves, many here are married, we've given ourselves to our mate for the lifetime. That's a good thing. Might we be committed to you in that similar way, one single-mindedness. I pray it today as we go, in the name of Jesus. God bless everybody. Thank you, thank you.